Coming up in three Sundays, we start a brand new series, and it's our typical annual meeting. It's when we kind of let you know who our new board is going to be. You get an opportunity to vote for that if you're a member. And we talk about the future year for our church. We'll take a look back at this last year and the things that we've done and what God has done through us. But we're going to start a new series, and I'm really, really excited about this series. It's called Crossing the Jordan. And it's going to be June 2nd through the 30th, and we're going to look in the book of Joshua at the church, at the Israelites as they were called by God to move across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. You know, Moses freed the people from captivity with the help of God, with God's intervention, right? And Moses was all ready to go in to the Promised Land, and Moses doesn't get to go into the Promised Land. He got close enough to see it, but never got to go into it. He called Joshua to be the one to take the church, take the nation of Israel into the Promised Land. And I believe, God has told me, that our church is kind of at our Jordan River crossing moment as a church. God wants to take us into a new season, into some place new for our church. Part of that is our reconstruction of our building, as we've been talking about the last couple weeks. But I believe there's more to that, and so we're going to explore that in this series, Crossing the Jordan, as we talk about our next year and what God is going to begin to do through this church and some of the bizarre things that he asked the Israelites to do in the taking down of Jericho. So we're gonna enjoy that story a little bit. All right, well, let's get into our message this morning. We've been in this series, Grace Unleashed, for 5 weeks. And I told you this last week, I feel like God has spoken to my heart maybe more than he's spoken to anybody else in this series. Even as a pastor, I need to be reminded of God's grace. I need to be reminded that God's grace is always moving, always working, always available to me. And today I want to dive into a more practical application of God's grace in our lives. Because here's the thing. It's one thing to say that God has grace that is unending for us, that God's grace is free for us for the taking. It's another thing to say that's going to change me and change how I live. It's going to change my life. And so today I want to talk about that. We're going to explore how living out God's grace is a daily choice that requires us to love God fully and to love people like we love God. Did you catch that? We're to love God fully and love people like we love God. So you have to love people fully. Talked about that last week. That's one of the hard things, isn't it? Our focus is going to be on a few passages from the final chapters in Romans. And these passages provide us with guidance on dedicated living, submission to God, love, unity, and consideration of others. Our world is filled with distractions and temptations. Somebody say amen. I've always been fascinated by this. You know, as our world gets busier, we are less connected and almost simultaneously the most connected we've ever been as a society. Right? I mean, I can pull out my cell phone and I can talk to my buddy in Oregon, my pastor, my former pastor, right now. I could put him on FaceTime. We could all have a conversation with Pastor Eric Fritz right now. And that'd be great. I mean, he's in Oregon, right? Like, we could talk to him right here. But if that's the only connection I have to Eric, that's a pretty disconnected thing, right? Like, I'm just talking to him through a screen. I mean, for some of you, you remember back in the day of the Jetsons, and they had the TV that you could talk to in the Jetsons, right? That became a reality for us, folks. Like, you thought that was like, ooh, futuristic stuff. It happened. We carry it with us everywhere we go now. And before too long, Google's going to figure out a way to just put it in our brains or in our eyes or something. And we don't even have to carry phones with us anymore. But we go to the grocery store we go to the pharmacy, and there's a drive-thru almost for everything these days, right? We're so busy that we don't even have our food delivered or our food picked up on our own anymore. We have it delivered to us all the time, don't we? I am super guilty of this. If I'm in the office and I'm working, DoorDash it is, right? I probably pay way too much money for that and could save some. But we get so busy, so distracted. And when we're busy and when we're distracted, how effective in sharing the gospel can we be? Parents, are you teaching your kids to be distracted, to be busy, to be too busy and too distracted? Something I want you to face today, if you're a parent or grandparent. Because I know it can be challenging, it is challenging to live out God's grace in our daily lives. It is a very challenging thing to do. We often struggle with putting God first and treating others with the same love and respect that we show to God. How do we pastor? How do we navigate the complexities of relationships and authority and unity while staying true to the call to live in God's grace? Well, over the next few minutes, I think the scriptures that we're going to read from Romans give us three clear truths on how to approach these challenges with a heart full of grace. So as we dive in today, if you want to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. For many of you, if you've been in the church a long time, this is going to be a very, very notable, maybe even memorized piece of scripture. You might even be able to just read it for me. But I want you to just listen and let these words even if you've heard it 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, that you'd let God just speak through these words for just a moment. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Let me stop for a second. In the modern church, the Western church, it's not that we have limited worship necessarily. We love to worship by song, right? We love to sing as we did just a few minutes ago. If you pass me in the car, our chances are I'm probably singing worship tunes and look like a fool doing it, and that's okay. As long as I'm a Jesus fool, I suppose. But Paul tells us that there's a bigger picture to worship, isn't there? That to truly worship Christ is to lay down your life for Christ. It's to give your entire self to God as a living sacrifice. And then he says in verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. But pastor, I can't change the way I think. I just think the way I think. God can transform every aspect of who we are. Somebody say amen. God can transform every aspect of your life, including the way you think. You know, some men and women have gotten into pornography, and there's a lot of research that's been done about pornography and how it changes the brain chemistry. It changes the way that men and women look at each other. We turn ourselves into objects instead of into people. But you know what? God can overcome that. God can transform that. You don't have to be held down by sin. Your brain doesn't have to stay the same. God can change it and repair it and restore it back to its original factory settings. I don't know where that came from. I did not plan that. It just came out. Okay? I'm not a nerd, I promise. We have so many Eaton people here that do like ridiculous stuff and build ridiculous stuff, so maybe that's where it came from. In this passage, Paul urges us to present our bodies as living sacrifices. Well, that seems kind of weird. Like, if we think back to the Old Testament, they'd take the ram or the sheep or whatever and put it up on the altar, and they'd, sorry for being morbid, they'd slit the throat and all the blood would drain out and all that. How do we be a living sacrifice? What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? And we're human beings. We're broken. How can we be holy? How can we be like God? We aren't. We're human. Well, hopefully we'll get some of those answers today, but I just want to give you some simple truth. This is a spiritual thing, right? This is a spiritual act of worship. And here's the reality for us today. I've said this, I've preached this multiple times, church. And again, I've said, I'm not going to stop. We are called to holiness living. We are called to be different. We don't need to apologize for that. We don't need to be ashamed of that. We are called to be a holiness people. We must allow the Holy Spirit to transform our hearts and our minds to align with God's will, God's desire, God's purposes for our lives. I know this is a harsh thing to hear, but your way doesn't matter. Your will doesn't matter. God's does. His direction, his purpose for your life is what matters. And it needs to matter to you if you are going to be a follower of Jesus. And if the Holy Spirit is going to transform our minds and our hearts to align with his will, then the reverse is also true, which Paul tells us, we can't conform to the patterns of the world. We can't be just like anybody else. I've had Christian friends who go to the bars and they get drunk and act a fool every weekend. And I remember this is probably 5 or 6 years ago now, and they came up to me and they said, Pastor, I know I'm not supposed to be doing these things, but I can't understand why no one ever wants to go to church with me. I said, why go to church and get up on a Sunday morning to be the exact same person that you are every other day of the week? If nothing's going to change, if your life is not different, if God hasn't done anything in your life, then what's the purpose of being a Christian at all? Right? That person has been sober for 5 years now. God has radically changed their lives. But is that because of me? No, that's God. That's God at work. That's the Holy Spirit at work in their life. Because the fact of the matter was, for this person, that they actually did care that they had a witness, that people actually were going to come to Jesus because of them. And when they realized that getting drunk and going to the bar was hindering that, they said, well, that's not worth doing then. So here's the question. What do you need to remove from your life? What is hindering your ability to allow God's grace to work through you? So our first truth today is that we are called to holiness living. Let's take a look at our next passage in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. This one can be very difficult these days. So I'm going to just admit that I don't have this perfectly figured out myself. But it really doesn't matter if I have this figured out. We're still supposed to do it. So here's what it says. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. Oh, Pastor, whoa. I don't like President Biden, or I don't like former President Trump. I'm not submitting to that guy. Hold on. For all authority comes from who? God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by... Wait a minute. Whoa, Pastor. Are you trying to tell me that President Biden was placed there by God? I'm not saying anything. That's what God said through Paul. Right? Am I wrong? I'm not saying any of this. This is all from Scripture, folks. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. I'll tell you a quick story before we finish this passage. Some of you already know I love police stuff. I've ridden along with Jonathan a few different times. I love police work. I don't want to do it myself, but I love watching other people living vicariously through them. And one of the videos that time and time again pops up in my Facebook reels or Facebook videos or whatever is the sovereign citizen types. Have you ever heard of these guys? And they'll get pulled over by a policeman, and they don't have an actual license plate. They don't have insurance on their cars. Thank God I've never been in an accident when pulled under these fellows. But they believe that they're sovereign citizens, and they can do whatever they want, whenever they want. And the only authority to them is the President of the United States. And they're always worried about getting their cars searched. I don't care if a police officer searches my car. I know I have a right to them not to do it, but I don't. What are they going to find? Probably some old, this is going to be embarrassing, food wrappers. I mean, they're probably Cheerios that are like this in our back seat or something from the girls. But there's nothing to find in my car. I have nothing to hide. I do the right thing most of the time, and so I'm not afraid. Almost every single video, without fail, and Jonathan knows this, most of the time when somebody doesn't want their car searched, there's something in the car they don't want the police officer to find, right? What? But here's the thing. Paul gives us a simple logic here, right? Authorities won't strike fear in you if you're doing the right thing. If you're living rightly, if you're a holy person, what do you have to fear of the police or the government? Nothing. Because they have no power over you ultimately, do they? Because even if, God forbid, the government killed you, if you're a believer, where are you going? Heaven. Your eternity is sealed, folks. Who cares? I don't care about the government. I don't care what the government's going to do to me. I mean, I don't want them to do anything bad to me, but nevertheless, I know where I'm going. I have no fear. So if you're living in fear of the government, you need to trust God a little more. You need to trust the grace and truth that comes from Jesus Christ. Verse 4. The authorities are God's servants, sent for your good. But if you're doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants, sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. Here's another truth that our society doesn't like right now. If you get arrested for something that you actually did, you deserve to be punished. The Scripture says it, right? Like, if you've done something wrong, you deserve to be punished. I know that there are some of you, Pastor Glenn, who like to speed. Your son told me. I don't know if that's true. I've never ridden with you, but that's what your son's told me. I know he's not the only one. Those of you who like to speed, don't get mad at a police officer like Jonathan when they pull you over because you're speeding. That's your fault, and you deserve the ticket that you get. Don't be mad at the police officer because they're doing their job. I always find this funny. What did you pull me over for? You were going 45 miles over the speed limit. You don't have a right to pull me over? Yes, I do. Right? Folks, the authorities are there, is what Paul is telling us, for a reason. In verse 5, he says, so you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. This is the other thing we see in our culture all the time now. Disrespect for authorities. It happens to our teachers. It happens to our administrators at the schools. It happens to our police officers, our firefighters, our pastors. We think we're so smart and we have every right to treat people with disrespect. As your pastor, you have no right to treat anybody with disrespect. None. I don't care how bad they are. I don't care how they've hurt you. I don't care how mean to you they are. You are told through Scripture to submit to authorities and to be respectful of all people. And now he goes into the even harder part. Pay your taxes too for these same reasons. I should have just left this one out. Sorry. For government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe. I'm just going to move past that scripture. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees for those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in just this one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. I told you before, if you go back to the Ten Commandments, all 10 of the Ten Commandments can be broken down: love God, love others. All of them. Love does no wrong to other people. So love fulfills the requirements of God's law. All the law that was written in the Old Testament, all of it, comes down to loving God and loving other people like you love Him. You will fulfill the law if you do those two things. And that, my friends, is grace at work. That's grace at work in your job. Students, that's grace at work in your school. Parents, that's grace at work in your homes. I heard something just the other day. When we discipline our children, we don't punish them to give them punishment. We punish them to teach them right and wrong and teach them God's way. We should never be punitive with our children. Because what are we teaching them? We're not teaching them grace. We're not teaching them mercy. We're not teaching them love. Paul speaks in this passage we just read of submission to authorities and the importance of love in all our interactions. This leads to our second truth this morning. We are called to submit to governing authorities, showing respect and honor as an expression of love for God. Respect and honor. Students, this means respecting and loving your parents even when they make mistakes. I'll be the first parent to admit, I'm not the greatest parent. I don't have all the answers. I've made mistakes with my kids. My parents have made mistakes. But I choose to love, honor, and respect my parents regardless of their mistakes. If you have a parent, maybe you're an adult, and you have a parent who you have been estranged from, maybe it's time to just make a phone call. Maybe it's time to pray, not, God, please have them ask for forgiveness for what they've done to me. Father, forgive my hard heart and my bitterness that I don't need in my life. Maybe that's the prayer you need to be praying. Love fulfills the law. And when we love our neighbors as ourselves, we are living in harmony with God's grace. That's God's grace at work. When we love people well, when we love God well, grace is at work. Let's read our final passage from Romans chapter 15. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, "The insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me." Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. I'll let that sink in for a second. We are to live in complete harmony with each other. Those of you who are longtime GC Nazzers, have we always lived in harmony with one another here? Have we had times of discord and disagreement? Division? Probably. But the past doesn't matter anymore, does it? What matters is today and moving forward. And as we prepare for the series that I announced earlier with Crossing the Jordan, in order to be successful, in order to be effective and fruitful for God's kingdom building efforts, we need to live and to move in harmony with one another. Doesn't mean we're always going to agree. That's okay. We can have disagreements, but we move forward together as one church, one group, one body of Christ. Then, verse 6, all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. He also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. That is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, "For this I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to your name." In another place it is written, "Rejoice with his people, you Gentiles." And yet again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people of the earth." And in another place, Isaiah said, "The heir to David's throne will come, and he will rule over the Gentiles. They will place their hope on him." I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then, listen to this, you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the final piece of grace at work. When we have unity in the body of Christ, we recognize that we are called to be considerate of others, bearing with one another in love. We are called to be considerate of others, bearing with one another in love. You see, unity and the elevation of others are essential pieces to build up the body of Christ and to spread God's grace into the world, into our community. If we're all going in different directions, if we're all trying to achieve different purposes as a body of Christ, we are not going to be effective in sharing the gospel and seeing God's hand come to this place and do a work. Only when we are together and we are moving in one direction and going after the lost in this town will God have victory, because we'll be getting in the way if we do it any other way. If we try to do it our way instead of his way, we will distract what God wants to do. We will deter God's work. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to get in front of God. I don't want to get in the way of his work. Amen? I want God to come in and do what God is capable of, which is redeeming all of the people that we come in contact with in Greenwood. As we meditate on these truths, let us be challenged to live out God's grace in our daily lives. And this is not just a corporate thing. This is a singular thing. When I was a teenager, They would remind us all the time, when you are a believer, you don't just represent your church. You don't just represent your family. You don't just represent yourself. You, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, represent Jesus Christ. You represent the Father to the world. It is through you that God chooses to speak and to move and do work in our world. That is a serious charge, isn't it? Let us dedicate ourselves to God. Let us submit to His will. And let us love others as we love Him. May we strive for unity and consideration in our relationships as a church, so that we can be a beacon of God's grace to everyone we encounter. You know, next week when we're in the park, nobody may walk in and come and sit down with us. That may happen. That's okay, though. Because I believe somebody's going to walk by down the sidewalk. Somebody's going to be in uptown and the music's going to be loud enough that they're going to hear it, or the preaching's going to be loud enough they're going to hear it. And God's going to speak to their mind and to their heart. And when they see a group of kids being played with, whether it's dodgeball or kickball or whatever else we're doing next week, I don't know, all the games that are going to be going on while we eat, they're going to see people who not only love each other, but love each other like God loves. And if somebody does come in and say, hey, I'm hungry, I need food, I know what you guys are going to do. Let me get you a plate. What do you want? Like, it's going to be, load that person up with as much food as they can possibly get, right? Hey, go tell your friends. Does anybody else want some food? Bring them over. Let's go. Because that's who we are. Next week, we get to show that. May our lives be a living testimony to the transformative power of God's grace, shining brightly in a world that desperately needs to see His love in action. Let us choose each day to live out God's grace, loving Him fully and loving people as we love God. As the band comes to conclude this morning, I want to remind you of the words of Paul in Romans chapter 16, verse 20. This is some really cool, good hope for us today. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. I'm going to try that again. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet, church. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. As we leave this place today, let us leave with the assurance that God's grace is at work in and through us. May we continue to be vessels of His grace, spreading love and unity wherever we go. And may we never forget that living out God's grace is a daily choice that requires us to love God fully and love people like we love God. Let's pray. Father, we desire to be more like You. Father, make us holy. Make us righteous. Father, continue that transformative work in our lives that You began for some of us many, many, many years ago. We know we're not complete yet, but continue the work until it is complete. Father, our goal is to be ambassadors of You, that we would exude Your love and Your grace to this world that needs it so desperately. Father, as a church, it is our desire to be an instrument, a vessel for You to move in our world and in our little slice of heaven here in Greenwood. Father, we know there are many in our town that don't know You. And we just want to be a part of seeing the lost found. And so, Father, however we can be a part of that, over these next this next year and even next several years. Give us clarity and wisdom and discernment in the ways that we should go as a church so that we can be effective in sharing the gospel, so that many families and individuals would come to saving knowledges of you, and that there would be a transformation in their homes. Father, I believe you can do this. I know you want to do this. Let us not step in the way by trying to get our own way, but following you and letting your will be done. Father, we pray this in your name. Amen.